Good morning.
Welcome back to the God School, where we are in the business of showing God off, if we wanted to use the religious terms, of revealing God, and that through His Word. This morning, there is a particular verse that I want to concentrate on, and it comes out of the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. There's so much that is involved in this, but there is a particular verse that we will get to. This is a chapter where Jesus really takes it to, really chastises the scribes and the Pharisees. In fact, on the top of the headline in my Bible says, "Woe to scribes and Pharisees." These are religious people. When Paul, addressing the Greeks on Mars Hill in Athens, talks to them, he says in the 22nd verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, he says, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you are too superstitious." And I've been on this verse before, but I'll just repeat it quickly. In a multitude of alternative translations to the King James, rather than saying superstitious, he says religious, very religious, scrupulously religious. And then in the Amplified Bible, it gives, I believe, a correct and a deeper meaning to that term religious. And it says of that word, very reverent to demons. I want to tell you, I try my best not to be religious, but to be and stay in the relationship wherein God has called us, and that of faith. He gives it. Luke, in the 11th chapter, gives a little more insight into this passage, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but Jesus is sitting at a meal, and he's at a Pharisee's house. And Jesus begins to eat, and the Pharisee notices that Jesus hasn't washed before he ate. And knowing the thoughts of that Pharisee, as he does every single one of our thoughts, he then begins to chastise. And he talks about, thinking the washing of the outside of the cup is sufficient when inside, he talks about being whited sepulchers, painted white on the outside, full of dead men's bones on the inside. He's talking about law keepers. He's talking about those who judge themselves to be righteous in keeping of the law, when in fact and in context, none of us know the whole law, and indeed certainly cannot keep it. That was the purpose of the law from the beginning. And now we come to the 23rd verse of this 23rd chapter of Matthew. And Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted weightier matters of the law." King James says, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Now let me attempt to put meaning to these things. In the Old Testament, God talks an awful lot about tithing. And these religious people, they got that message. I mean, they got down to giving a tenth of the little things that were produced in their garden of mint and anise and cumin, that they'd even give a tenth of that, which the Lord commanded that we were to pay a tithe. People say, well, tithing was the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament, therefore no tithing. Well, here, Jesus, I believe, not only acknowledges that part of the law which calls for the tithe, but he includes it as something that was to continue. He says, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. He says, these you ought to have done. What is the tithe? It is a recognition that we Christians have a master. Corinthians tells us, ye are bought with a price, that ye should not live unto yourselves, but unto him that bought you. And the tithe is a continual recognition of that part of the relationship. And Jesus says, of that activity of those who are having this relationship, of those that have been called into this relationship, of those that have been chosen by God and that for himself into this relationship, that the tithe is something that ought to be done. But he goes on. And he says, ye have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What was the law? The law was God revealing himself. It was a standard that, if kept, the promise of God was that one would live forever. But none kept it, and therefore none kept it save Jesus. And therefore, all died. But the law was, excuse me, an outward expression. If you saw the law, you, in essence, were seeing God. Jesus said, I come not to do away with the law, but I come to fulfill it. And in him, the only man in history to fulfill the law, that is Jesus, we see an outward expression of a righteousness of God. But he says, Jesus speaking, you've left off the weightier matters. In Luke 11, it says, ye pass over. That is, you don't give any attention to. My hesitation is, What we're about to look at is very important. In essence, what Jesus is saying is, you lawkeepers, you look unto yourselves. And not look at God. Why do I say that? Well, because Jesus said, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. The literal of the Greek says, the judgment, and the mercy, and the faith. As we go deeper into the Greek, the original language, not a translation, it says, and I'm going to give you the Greek, it says, the krison and the ilios and the piston. Let me see if I can turn lights on this. Jesus says these are the weightier matters of that which God revealed in what's called the law. And I think you'll agree with me when we're finished exegeting these words that in fact these are weightier matters. The tithe is a recognition which we ought to be doing. But these are even weightier matters. Now, this word translated judgment in the Greek is krison. And the best I could find, this word is in relationship to the word decision. Now, how often have we gone to that verse in the first chapter of Ephesians that accordingly he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that is, God made a decision to choose out for himself among those he did not choose out, to place them in Christ before the foundation of the world. I did a little word search on the phrase, my people. And in the Old Testament, the word, that phrase is used 217 times. Talk about the repeatables of God. And he's not talking about He's not calling them my people because of a decision they made. He's talking about my people because of a decision he made. You want a New Testament frame? In the Gospel of John, I think it might be the 14th chapter. I could be wrong. I don't want to stop. He said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." Creason, it has to do with a decision. It has to do with a decision God made. And then it says, and the mercy, the Greek word is ilios. One definition says compassion. In the Old Testament, God always provided a way back for his people. And it took place on that Day of Atonement when the high priest, the representative of all the people, would come into the Holy of Holies and present the sacrifice. And if the sacrifice, present the sacrifice in front of and on the, what we call the mercy seat. In a particular interlinear translation, they translate it this word mercy, covenant, loyalty. They relate this word, ilios, Greek word, to a Hebrew word found in the Old Testament, which is chesed, chesed. It's that hard guttural sound. The word has many different translations. It incorporates a multitude of meanings. In Jeremiah, the 9th chapter, 24th verse, this word hesed is translated loving kindness. In other passages of the Old Testament, this word is translated favor. In other passages, the word is translated grace. Weightier matters. God, the decision maker. Decided before the foundation of the world to make you his people. The term we use today referring to his people, called the church, even that comes from the meaning the people that belong to the Lord. Weightier matters. God decided to choose us. And through his revelation, he shows off his covenant loyalty, which manifests itself in mercy, in loving kindness, and in grace. Weightier matters. Ye have omitted weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. The judgment and the mercy and the faith. Now, here's what really grabbed my attention when I came to this verse. I have often recommended and still do recommend the Blue Letter Bible as a good source, blueletterbible.com, as a good source in studying the Word. But a few weeks back, my sister came across, and I'm grateful for her and for this, came across another site called BibleHub.com. And Blue Letter Bible, when it will give you the Greek, gives you only words contained in the Strong's Concordance. And therefore, if we went to the Strong's Concordance, they would tell you what this word faith is, which is pistis, which is a noun. Now, we've talked this before, but it's worth repeating. Pistis is the noun. Pisteos is the verb, where the Blue Letter sometimes comes short is it does not give us the word. It gives us like only the root, but it doesn't give us the prefixes and suffixes which really give context to the words. The Greek, like the Hebrew, is built on roots. And more understanding is available when these root words with their prefixes and suffixes are displayed. And in this word being translated faith, when we go to the Greek, we find that the word is not pistis, not pisteos, but pieced in. And the grammar that's provided through this Bible Hub tells us that this form of the word, translated faith, is in the accusative case. Now, I'm not trying to make grammarians or Greek scholars or Hebrew scholars out of anyone. I'm trying to communicate the Word of God that it might come and affect you all. As it has had effect on me, when you find something in the accusative case, the picture is that which tells us this is being done to the receiver. If it were in the genitive case, as that phrase in Romans 1:17, from faith to faith, it says ek pistios eis piston. It says pistios. That's the genitive case. That's that which we are generating. That's that which, when we operate in that measure of faith given to every man, when we generate faith, Romans 1:17 says, ek pistios eis pistum. When we generate faith, then that next word, faith, is piston. And the essence of it means God adds to that faith. And what Jesus is saying in this 23rd verse of Matthew 23 is, in God's revelation, the weightier matters are He decided for us. And had compassion and has a covenant loyalty, a grace, a favor, unmerited favor, and He continues to add to our faith. If we were to use an analogy, if we were to give names to these three words translated in the King James, judgment and mercy and faith, we could say, ye have omitted from the law, or of the law, God the Father, the decision maker, and Jesus Christ, who came with compassion, mercy, and in God, the Holy Spirit. When we begin to operate in that which God has made available to us, faith, God adds His Holy Spirit. Luke says, ye pass over Creason, Luke 11:42, and love of God, agapane, again, not our love to God, but accusative, His love toward us. Jesus said, these are the weightier matters. The tithe that ye ought to have done. But above all things, don't leave these things undone. That's the God School for today.